Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So every year we get a slate of these things. In fact, we get it especially so every 4 years or so. It's a slate of promises from our would-be leaders and from our politicians. And the statistics website, 538, estimates that our presidents, who are elected by the people, keep about 66% of their promises. But most of the time, it isn't the promises that they keep that we remember, but rather the ones that they fail to keep. So Herbert Hoover, back in 1932, for example, promised every American a chicken in every pot and a car in every backyard. But then, of course, we know what happened after he made those promises. FDR, in 1940, made the promise that our boys would not be sent to any foreign wars. And we know what happened there. So why this failure of the promises that our politicians and leaders make? Well, sometimes it is a matter of convenience. People tell us what we want to hear, and they just want to be in charge and be in place. But more often, it's circumstances that are beyond their control. Herbert Hoover, obviously, I don't think, was like, I want a depression. And I don't think FDR really wanted the United States to be dragged into World War II. But those things were not things that they had control over. Let's go to James 4. And we'll read about what James has to say about the kinds of control that we as people and those as leaders, human leaders, have in this world. We're going to look at verses 13 through 15. James 4, verses 13 through 15. Here James says that he says, "Go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. For you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." So essentially James is saying that we don't control the outer circumstances around us all the time, and that really the best we can do in terms of promises is to say, if the Lord wills, I will do this. In Matthew 5, verse 36, we won't turn there, but Jesus says something very similar. He's talking about making vows, and he says that, we shouldn't swear by our head because we don't have, we cannot make our hair white or black. We can't decide something. We can't make a vow necessarily and have control over all of the circumstances that go into that. But our leaders are not the only ones who make promises. God has made a whole set of them. And wow, they're whoppers if he was a politician, one of our worldly politicians. Here are some of the promises that God has told us and promised us and made us. He promises to keep us from the hour of temptation. He tells us that every man will sit under his own vine and fig tree, and he'll do it without fear. I mean, talk about a chicken in every pot. God has promised essentially the same thing, a fig tree in every yard. He tells us that nations will not learn war anymore. And he tells us that he will make us kings and priests, and not only kings and priests, but he'll do so continually. He tells us that we will sit on his throne with him. And he tells us that we will have power over the nations. He tells us that he will give us eternal life. And not only will he give us eternal life, but we'll enjoy it, because there will be no more death, or sorrow, or crying, or pain. He tells us that he will give us a new name. He tells us that we will shine like the stars of heaven. And most importantly, he tells us that he will never leave us or forsake us. How can we be sure of all these things? All of these human leaders make grand promises, And they don't always come through, even though, you know, they try. Let's go to Isaiah 55 and verse 11. Isaiah 55 and verse 11. Here we're going to see something that God says about His Word and about the promises He makes and about how they are different than the promises that we as human beings make. Isaiah 55 and verse 11. God says here, "So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." So God says that His promises are not like man's. He says that His word goes forth and it comes true. He says that here in the context in Isaiah, that He will glorify Israel and that He will not cut it off forever. How can we be assured that those promises, that His word is good? How can we be assured that His word is different than man's? What has His word done? Well, let's go back to Genesis 1. You don't actually have to turn there, but I'm going to read a whole set of scriptures here. But all we have to do is look at God's creation. God's creation is perhaps the greatest example of what God's Word is capable of and what we see every day. And if we read in Genesis 1, and you notice the words, "it was so." I'm just going to read the scriptures that have to do with "it was so." So, and the first one doesn't, but it makes the point. Genesis 1:3, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So His word went forth, and then there was light. Genesis 1:7, "And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so." Genesis 1:9, "And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together under one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so." Genesis 1:11, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself, upon the earth. And it was so." Genesis 1:15, "And let them, the sun, the moon, the stars, be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth." And when we go out, we see that light. It was so. Genesis 1:24, "And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so." Genesis 1:30, "And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creeps upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so." Paul in Romans 1 and verse 20, again we won't turn there, but Paul in Romans 1 and verse 20 says that when we look out on the creation, we can understand God's eternal power. And really, when we look out on creation, we see why God could say what he said in Isaiah 55 and verse 11. That when his word goes forth, it will be accomplished. That what he says will come to pass. And so it is that when we look out at the creation, but even, as Genesis 1:30 tells us, when we eat our lunch, when we eat the snacks here at services after church, we see God's power, his ability to fulfill his promises. Because what did he tell us? He said that every herb there was for meat, and it was so. So when we eat, we're looking at a promise that was fulfilled by God. And we know that his word is true. We also know it by the fact that he sent his word to us in by his Son, to demonstrate his love for us and the fact that he will redeem us and that he will never, as he had promised, leave us or forsake us. So God doesn't lie, but even more importantly, and more to the point, there are no circumstances beyond God's control that will stop him from doing what he says he will do and from fulfilling the promises that he says he has given to us. He will always say what he says he will, always do what he says he will do, and he has demonstrated that, and we know that he will always do that because he has already demonstrated it in his creation.